What do you do when your secret life is a secret no longer? What do you do when your well-managed cover story is shattered? As we run the race of life, let's not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Repairing the damage of sin means reestablishing contact with God and rebuilding relationships with those we've hurt. There is a way to come home. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a 6-part series on what to do after you've blown it, reconnecting with God and others. Here is Erwin Lutzer to tell us about the waiting father.
I think of a young man, 30-ish, good-looking, graduate of a Bible college, intending to be an evangelist and a missionary, staring into a window, disheveled, saying to me, "How could I be in this mess?" He'd fathered a child, and now his girlfriend would not allow him to see his own baby. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Or I could think of a young woman dating a man, bypassing all of the stop signs, all of the red lights, going ahead with a relationship that she knew intuitively was wrong, and eventually being entangled in a mess and asking, "What now?" This is the beginning of a series of messages entitled, "After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others." Because we're going to talk about reconnecting with God, but we're also going to be talking about later on reconnecting with others. To what extent do you try to be reconciled with other members of God's family? And what if people will not reconcile with you? How do you connect with God, but also connect with others? To help us this morning, I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus told in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was a master storyteller, and in principle, it's a story that has happened 1,000 times. A young man becomes weary of the rules and the restraints of the farm, and he comes to his father and he says to his father, "Father, give me the portion of the estate that falls to me, and I want you to give it to me right now." We can imagine how impertinent it was for him to make this request. Because in effect, what he was saying was, "Father, I can't wait until you die before I receive my inheritance. I want it right now." You can imagine the pain in the father's heart. But the father bears the pain and buries the hurt and gives to the young man, according to the laws of Levitical inheritance, 1/3 of the estate, and the other 2/3 is given to the elder brother who stays home. The father doesn't lecture the boy, but the father allows the boy to go, and when the boy says, "Give me," that defines his life, because the father is a giver, but the son is a taker. Wordless, the father watches his son go down the road. The father knows what the far country is like, and the father's heart is broken. But there comes a time in the life of a young person where you simply must let them go if they will not stay at home. What we'd like to do for the next few moments is to simply take some snapshots of this story. And first of all, we see some of the steps downward that this young man took as he left home. First of all, we notice that he goes away to what is called a distant or a far country. What he wants to do is to get as far away from home as he possibly can. He doesn't want to leave his cell phone number. He doesn't want the father to intervene. And what he wants to do is to go where he is unknown so he can do whatever he wants to do and nobody back home will know what he's up to. And so the second thing that he does is he misuses the blessings that the father gave him. Because when the father earned his money on the farm, it was not his intention that the sons squander his wealth in wild living. I like at this point what the King James Version says. It says he wasted his substance. And we still use that word today, don't we? We speak about somebody being wasted, and sin is always waste. It is always waste. And he takes his money and he blows his money. He takes what the Father gave him for blessing and he uses it to commit sins. Another mistake that he makes is that he ends up spurning actually his own religion. Now, as I read this story, I can be very happy about the fact that this boy does not begin a life of stealing in order to get food. At least he's willing to work for it, and he attaches himself, the scripture says, to a citizen of that far country, and that citizen sends him into the fields to feed the pigs. But pigs were an abomination to the Jews. It's not just that they were physically unclean, they were also spiritually or ceremonially unclean, and he knew that his religion would not allow this vocation. But if you're hungry, the precepts and the teachings of your religion have to be set aside for the greater good of continuing to live. And so the Bible says that he longed to eat the pods that the pigs ate. He was there with them, and he had to compromise his dignity and compromise what he had been taught. But sin always causes us to compromise, and it always brings us down. It never brings us up. Something else about this younger boy that we discover is that his friends were untrustworthy. He trusted friends who would not be there for him when times became difficult. As a matter of fact, he had friends as long as he had money, but having squandered his inheritance, when the money was gone, his friends were gone, because I read in the text that no one gave to him. Nobody was there for him in the end when he needed his friends that he had made in the far country. Now, there were many reasons why this boy might decide to stay in the far country. For example, he could have said to himself, well, I'm not coming back to the Father. Even if I have to starve, I won't go back home. And there'd have been good reasons why he could have hardened his heart that way. After all, the question was, could he bear the shame of going back to the Father? After all, he had discredited the Father's name. Because there were folks in the village who talked about the farmer who had two sons, and they spoke about the good boy who stayed home and the hard-working elder brother, and then the scoundrel, the rascal who ran off with his father's wealth and turned it all into cash and then blew it in the far country. And he knew that he had not only hurt his father, but had hurt his father's reputation. And in order for him to go back and to look into his father's eyes and to admit that he came empty-handed and all the money was gone, that was tough to do. But there's another reason why he might have found it difficult to go back. And that was his elder brother, that goody two-shoes who never did anything wrong, who worked from early morning until late at night. He knew that there was no such thing as being reconciled to his father unless he also became reconciled, at least in some way, to his father's other son. And so because of that, he might have decided to stay in the far country. And then he could have thought to himself, I know that back on the farm I can't waste my life. I cannot live a wild life, as the NIV translates it. I know that there are certain rules at the farm, and I don't know whether or not I can live up to those rules. And so I'm not going home, whether I live or whether I starve. It seems to me that there comes a time in the life of everyone who's run through the stop signs. It seems to me that there comes a time when there's a fork in the road, when they have to decide whether or not they'll keep on making one bad decision after another, or whether they will actually come to their senses and turn around. Because there are so many who discover that when their environment gives out, as was true of this boy, when there's a famine in the land, they keep on making the same mistake again and again and again, following the false path until the end, and they never turn around. So whatever we may say about this boy in the far country, we read the text of Scripture in those wonderful words in verse 17. He came to his senses. And he came to his senses because he was hungry. And he knew, however, that it is possible to make a right decision even after a series of bad, destructive ones. There is one right decision that can still be made. And that is, he can return to his father to be reconciled to him. Now, quite frankly, we wish that his motives would have been a lot better. We wish that his motives would have been more noble. We wish that the text would read that, I love the Father and I'm missing the Father, and so because I'm missing him and I know that he loves me, I'm going home. That's not what we read. He comes home because he's hungry. He comes home because he can't live another day with having to sleep out in the field. That's why he comes. But at least he's coming. Whether it's a right motive or a wrong motive, at least his feet are now leading him in the right direction. It was George MacDonald, who was a friend of C.S. Lewis, who said that when a child leaves home, he comes home because he's hungry, but he needs his mother more than he does his supper. And certainly this boy needed his father more than he did a full stomach, but at least it's the empty stomach that is bringing him home. And he comes home to be filled. I believe it was C.S. Lewis who said that when he was converted, he thought that he was being converted to a place, but then he realized that he's being converted to a person, and it was that was transforming. And it was because this boy knew that the Father loved him, that it was that fact that gave him the permission to come back home. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. You've heard me plead with people to come home to the Father. And that's my heart cry for you today. Remember this, that guilt is not God trying to push you away from him. Guilt is God trying to put his arms around you. The Father is calling you today. The best news that we can give to wayward believers, as well as those of you who are listening today who perhaps have never trusted Christ as Savior, the very best news we can give you is come to the waiting Father because he loves you and his arms are outstretched. The reason that the Father was able to welcome the Son is because the wayward Son knew how desperately he needed the Father. In a future message, I'll be talking about the elder brother who stayed home. His problem was he didn't know how desperately he needed the Father. So in a sense, the elder brother never did come home to the Father. Oh, he was there physically, but he was not there mentally and spiritually. His heart was somewhere else. So you, my friend, today, as you have listened to this message, I encourage you, come back, no matter how far you have wandered away. Come back to the waiting Father.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of The Waiting Father, the first of six messages on what to do after you've blown it. Coming home is not always easy, but the rewards are great. Tomorrow, join us for more encouragement to make that all-important choice to come back home to the Father who wants to welcome you back. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, and also it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the series after you've blown it when you call. For information on other ministry resources and to learn more about Moody Church, visit our website at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.